please welcome this wonderful cast of The Old Wives' Tale.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Beyond podcast. I'm your host, Robert Crichton, and today we have a full cast audio adaptation of The Old Wives' Tale by George Peel, recorded live at the White Bear Theatre on Saturday, 16th of December, 2023. For a more detailed breakdown of the text, to understand the detail of the action of the play, do go to our spoilers episode and our various exploring sessions for more. There is also a post-show discussion of the play from the live event with Dr. Annalise Connolly, coming to the podcast very soon. There is a full content warning in the show description, but this play is fairly PG. And now I will pass you over to our production of The Old Wives' Tale by George Peel, directed by Liza Graham, with Lindsay Beecham as Madge, Kit McGuire as Antic, Sojourner Hazelwood Connell as Fantastic, Emma Kemp as Frolic, and Keith Hill as Clunch. The Old Wives' Tale.
Fellow Frolic, what, all and mort? Doth this sadness become thy madness? What, though we have lost our way in the woods, yet never hang the head as though thou hadst no hope to live till tomorrow, for Fantastic and I will warrant thy life tonight for 20 in the 100.
Antic and Fantastic, as I am Frolic Franion, never in all my life was I so dead slain. What? To lose our way in the wood, without either fire or candle, so uncomfortable. Oh, Chalum, oh, Terra, oh, Maria, oh, Neptune.
Why makes thou it so strange, seeing Cupid hath led our young master to the fair lady, and she is the only saint that he hath sworn to serve?
What resteth then? But we commit him to his wench, and each of us take his stand up in a tree and sing out our ill fortune to the tune of O Man in Desperation.
Desperately spoken, fellow Frolic in the dark, but seeing it falls out thus, let us rehearse the old proverb.
Three merry men, three merry men, three merry men be we. I in the woods, thou on the ground, and Jack sleeps in the tree.
Three merry men, and three merry men, and three merry men be we.
I in the wood, and thou on the ground, and Jack sleeps in the tree. Three merry men, and three merry men, and three merry men, wee-wee. I in the wood, and thou on the ground, and Jack sleeps in the tree.
A dog! A dog in the wood! Or a wooden dog! Oh, comfortable hearing! I had even a leaf the chamberlain of the white horse had called me up to bed!
Either hath this trotting cur gone out of his circuit, or else are we near some village, which should not be far off, for I perceive the glimmering of a glowworm, a candle, or a cat's eye. In the name of my own father, be thou ox or ass that appearest, tell us what thou art.
What am I? Why, I am Clunch the Smith. What are you? And what make you in my territories at this time of night?
What do we make, dost thou ask? Why, we make faces for fear, such as if thy mortal eyes could behold, would make thee water the long seams of thy side slops, Smith.
And, in faith, sir, unless your hospitality do relieve us, we are like to wander with a sorrowful hey-ho among the owlets and hobgoblins of the forest. Good Vulcan, for Cupid's sake that hath cozened us all, befriend us as thou mayst, and command us howsoever, wheresoever, whensoever, in whatsoever, for ever and ever.
Well, masters, it seems to me you've lost your way in the wood. In consideration whereof, if you will go with Clunch to his cottage, you shall have house room and a good fire to sit by, although we have no bedding to put you in.
Oh, blessed Smith! Oh, bountiful Clunch!
For your further entertainment, it shall be as it may be so and so. And Hart, this is Ball, my dog, that bids you all welcome in his own language. Come, take heed for stumbling on the threshold. Open door, Madge. Take in visitors.
Welcome, Clunch. Good fellows all that come with my goodman for my goodman's sake. Come on, sit down. Here is a piece of cheese and a pudding of my own making.
Thanks, Gammer. A good example for the wives of our town.
Gammer, thou and thy goodman sit lovingly together. We come to chat and not to eat.
Well, masters, if you will eat nothing, take away. Come, what do we to pass away the time? Lay a crab in the fire to roast for lamb's wool. What, shall we have a game at trump or rough to rive away the time? How say you?
This smith leads a life as merry as a king with Madge's wife, Sirrah Frolic. I am sure thou art not without some round or other. No doubt, but Clunch can bear his part.
Else think you me ill brought up. So set to it when you will.
When as the rye reached to the chin,
and chop, cherry, right within. Strawberries swimming in the cream, and schoolboys playing in the stream.
Then oh, 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 then oh, my true love said, till that time come again.
She could not live a maid.
Then oh, 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 then oh, my true love said, till that time come again.
She could not live a maid. Hey!
This sport does well, but methinks, Gamma, a merry winter's tale would drive away the time trimly. Come, I'm sure you are not without a score.
In faith, Gamma, a tale of an hour long were as good as an hour's sleep.
Look you, Gamma, of the giant and the king's daughter, and I know not what. I have seen the day when I was a little one, you might have drawn me a mile after you with such a discourse.
Well, since you be so importunate, my goodman shall fill the pot and get him to bed. Now, they that ply their work must keep good hours. One of you, go lie with him. He is a clean-skinned man, I tell you, without either spavin or wingall. So I am content to drive away the time with an old wife's winter's tale.
No better hay in Devonshire. Oh, my word, Gamma, I'll be one of your audience.
And I another. That's flat.
Then I must abed with the goodman. Bon an ox, Gamma. Good night, Frolic.
Come on, my lad. Thou shalt take thy unnatural rest with me.
Yet this vantage shall we have of them in the morning, to be ready at the sight thereof extempore.
Now, this bargain, my masters, must I make with you, that you will say, and ah, to my tale, so I shall know you are awake.
Content, Gamma, that will we do.
Once upon a time, there was a king, or a lord, or a duke, and he had a fair daughter. The fairest that ever was, as white as snow and as red as blood, And once upon a time, his daughter was stolen away. And he sent all his men out to seek his daughter, and he sent so long that he sent all his men out of his land.
Who dressed his dinner then?
Nay, either hear my tale or kiss my tail.
Well said, Gamma. On with your tale, Gamma.
Oh, Lord, I quite forgot. There was a conjurer. And this conjurer could do anything. And he turned himself into a great dragon. And carried the king's daughter away in his mouth to a castle that he made of stone. And there he kept her, I know not how long, till at last all the king's men went out so long that her two brothers went to seek her. Oh, I forget that she... No, not she. He, I mean, I would say, turned a proper young man to a bear at night and a man in the day, and keeps by a cross that parts three several ways. And he made his lady run mad. God's me bones, who comes here?
Soft, Gamma. Here some come to tell your tale for you.
Let them alone. Let us hear what they will say.
Upon these chalky cliffs of Albion, we are arrived now with tedious toil, and compassing the wide world round about, to seek our sister, seek fair Delia forth. Yet cannot we so much as hear of her?
Oh, fortune cruel, cruel and unkind. Unkind in that we cannot find our sister. Our sister hapless in her cruel chance. Soft, what have we here?
Now, father, God be your speed. What do you gather there?
Hit. And haws and sticks and straws and things that I gather on the ground, my son.
Hips and haws and sticks and straws? Why, is that all your food, father?
Yea, son.
Father, here is an alms penny for me, and if I speed in that I go for, I will give thee as good a gown of grey as ever thou didst wear.
And father, here is another alms penny for me. And if I speed in my journey, I will give thee a palmer's staff of ivory and a scallop shell of beaten gold.
Was she fair?
Aye, the fairest for white and the purest for red, as the blood of the deer or the driven snow.
Then hark well and mark well my old spell. Be not afraid of every stranger. Start not aside at every danger. Things that seem are not the same. Blow a blast at every flame, and when one flame of fire goes out, then come your wishes well about. If any ask who told you this good, say, the White Bear of England's Wood.
Brother, heard you not what the old man said? Be not afraid of every stranger. Start not aside for every danger. Things that seem are not the same. Blow a blast at every flame. If any ask who told you of this good, say the White Bear of England's Wood.
Well, if this do us any good, well, fare the White Bear of England's Wood.
Now, sit thee here and tell a heavy tale, sad in thy mood and sober in thy cheer. Here sit thee now and to thyself relate the hard mishap of my most wretched state. In Thessaly I lived in sweet content until that fortune wrought my overthrow. For there I wedded was unto a dame that lived in honour, virtue, love, and fame, but sacrapant, that cursed sorcerer being besotted with my beauteous love, my dearest love, my true betrothed wife, did seek the means to rid me of my life. But worse than this, he with his chanting spells did turn me straight unto an ugly bear. And when the sun doth settle in the west, then I begin to don my ugly hide, and all the day I sit, as now you see, and speak in riddles all inspired with rage, seeming an old and miserable man, and yet I am in April of my age. See where Vanilla, my betrothed love, runs madding, all enraged about the woods. All by his cursed and enchanting spells. But here comes Lambriscus, my discontented neighbour. How now, neighbour, you look towards the ground as well as I. You muse on something.
Neighbour, on nothing but the matter I so often move to you. If you do anything for charity, help me. If for neighbourhood or brotherhood, help me. Never was one so cumbered as is poor Lampriscus. And, to begin, I pray, receive this pot of honey to mend your fare.
Thanks, neighbour. Set it down. Honey is always welcome to the bear. And now, neighbour, let me hear the cause of your coming.
I am, as you know, neighbour, a man unmarried, and lived so unquietly with my two wives that I keep every year holy the day wherein I buried them both. The first was on St. Andrew's Day, the other on St. Luke's.
And now, neighbour, you of this country say, your custom's out. But on with your tale, neighbour.
By my first wife, whose tongue wearied me alive and sounded in my ears like the clapper of a great bell, whose talk was a continual torment to all that dwelt by her, or lived nigh her. You have heard me say I had a handsome daughter.
True, neighbour.
Ugh, she it is that afflicts me with her continual clamours, and hangs on me like a burr. Poor she is, and proud she is. As poor as a sheep new shorn, and as proud of her hoops as a peacock of her tail well grown.
Well said, Lampriscus, you speak it like an Englishman.
As cursed as a wasp, and as froward as a child new taken from the mother's teat. She is, to my age, as smoke to the eyes, or as vinegar to the teeth.
Holily praised, neighbour. As much for the next.
By my other wife I had a daughter so hard-favoured, so foul and ill-faced, that I think a grove full of golden trees and the leaves of rubies and diamonds would not be a dowry answerable to her deformity.
Well, neighbour, now you have spoken, hear me speak. Send them to the well for the water of life. There shall they find their fortunes unlooked for. Neighbour, farewell.
Farewell, and a thousand. And now goeth poor Lampriscus to put in execution this excellent counsel.
This goes round without a fiddling stick, but do you hear, Gammer? Was this the man that was a bear in the night and a man in the day?
Oi, this is he, and this man that came to him was a beggar and dwelt upon a green. Oh, but soft, who comes here? Oh, these are the harvest men. 10 to 1 they sing a song of mowing.
Oh, ye the lovely lovers meet, pray you for me. Lo, here we come a sowing, a sowing, and so sweet fruits of love in your sweet hearts, well may it prove. Oh, ye that lovely lovers be, pray you for me. Lo, here we come a sowing, a sowing,
a sowing,
a sowing. Lo, here we come a sowing.
Oh, this is one that is going to the conjurer. Let him alone. Hear what he says.
Now, by Mars and Mercury, Jupiter and Janus, Sol and Saturnus, Venus and Vesta, Pallas and Proserpina, and by the honor of my house, Polymacre Placidus, it is a wonder to see what this love will make silly fellows adventure, even in the wane of their wits and infancy of their discretion. Alas, good friend, what fortune calls thee forth to stick thy fortune among brazen gates, enchanted towers, fire and brimstone, thunder and lightning? Ah, beauty, I tell thee, is peerless, and she precious whom thou affectest, Estest. Do off these desires, good countryman, good friend. Run away from thyself, and, so soon as thou canst, forget her, whom none must inherit, but he that can monsters tame, labors achieve, riddles absolve, loose enchantments, murder magic, and kill conjuring, and that is the great and mighty Wadabingo!
Hark you, sir, hark you! First, no, I have here the flirting feather and have given the parish the long start for the long stock. Now, sir, if it be no more than running through a little lightning and thunder and riddle me, what's this? I'll have the wench from the conjurer if he were 10 conjurers.
Oh, I have abandoned the court and honourable company to do my devoir against this sore sorcerer and mighty magician. If this lady be so fair as she's said to be, she is mine. She is mine! Meus mea meum incontentum omnium grammaticorum!
O falsum Latinium, the fair maid is mineium. Come appertinentibus jubletis and all.
If she be mine, as I assure myself, the heavens will do somewhat to reward my worthiness. She shall be allied to none of the meanest gods, but be invested in the most famous stock of Wadabingo! Polymacre Placidus, my grandfather. Pergopolinio, my father. My mother, Dionora de Sardinia, famously descended.
Do you hear, sir? Had you not a cousin that was called... Gustus Eridus?
Indeed. I had a cousin that sometime followed the court, unfortunately, and his name, Bust Gustus Eridus.
Oh, Lord, I know him well. He is the knight of the knee's feet.
Oh, he loved no capon better. He hath oftentimes deceived his boy of his dinner. That was his fault. Good Bust Augustus Eridus.
Come, shall we go along? Soft, here is a man at the cross. Let us ask him the way thither. Oh, you gaffer, I pray you, tell where the wise man, the conjurer, dwells.
Where that earthly goddess keepeth her abode, the commander of my thoughts and fair mistress of my heart.
Fair enough and far enough from thy fingering, son.
I will follow my fortune after my own fancy and do according to my own discretion.
Yet give something to an old man before you go.
Oh, father, methinks a piece of this cake might serve your turn.
Yea, son.
Wadabingo giveth no cake for alms. Ask of them that give gifts for poor beggars. Fair lady, if thou wert once shrined in this bosom, I would buckler thee. Harantantantara.
Father, do you see this man? You little think he'll run a mile or two for such a cake or pass for a pudding. I tell you, father, he has kept such a begging of me for a piece of this cake. Woo! He comes upon me with a superficial substance and the voicing of the earth that I know not what he means. If he came to me thus and said, my friend Booby or so, why, I could spare him a piece with all my heart. But when he tells me how God hath enshrined me above all other fellows with the cake, why, he makes me go blind and deaf at once. Yet, father, here is a piece of cake for you, as hard as the world goes.
Thanks, son. But list to me, he shall be deaf when thou shalt not see,
Farewell, my son. Things may so hit. Thou mayst have wealth to mend thy wit.
Farewell, father, farewell. For I must haste after my two-hand sword that has gone before.
The day is clear, the welkin bright and grey, the lark is merry and records her notes, each thing rejoiceth underneath the sky, but only I, whom heaven hath in hate, wretched and miserable sacripant. In Thessaly was I born and brought up. My mother, Merehite, a famous witch, and by her cunning I of her did learn to change and alter shapes of mortal men. There did I turn myself into a dragon and stole away the daughter to the king. Fair Delia, the mistress of my heart, and brought her hither to revive the man that seemeth young and pleasant to behold, and yet is aged, crooked, weak, and numb. Thus, by enchanting spells, I do deceive those that behold and look upon my face. But well may I bid youthful years adieu. See where she comes, from whence my sorrows grow. How now, fair Delia? Where have you been?
At the foot of the rock of the running water, and gathering roots for your dinner, sir.
Oh, Delia, fairer art thou than the running water, yet harder far than steel or adamant.
Will it please you to sit down, sir?
Aye, Delia, sit and ask me what thou wilt. Thou shalt have it brought into thy lap.
Then, I pray you, sir, let me have the best meat from the King of England's table, and the best wine in all of France, brought in by the veriest knave in all of Spain.
Delia, I am glad to see you so pleasant. Well, sit thee down. Spread, table, spread. Meat, drink, and bread. Ever may I have what I ever crave when I am spread. Meat for my black cock, and meat for my red.
Is this Sacripant's magic?
Yea, see, he hath conjured a friar with a good chine of beef and a pot of wine.
Here, Delia, will you fall too?
Is this the best meat in all England?
Yea.
What is it?
A chine of English beef, meat for a king and a king's followers.
Is this the best wine in all of France?
Yea.
What wine is it?
A cup of neat wine of Orléans that never came near the brewers in England.
Is this the veriest knave in all Spain?
Yea.
What is he? A friar?
Yea, a friar indefinite and a knave infinite.
Then I pray ye, sir friar, tell me before you go, which is the most greediest man in England?
Ah, the miserable and most covetous usurer, Elon Musk.
Hold thee there, friar.
But soft, who have we here? Delia, away. Be gone.
Delia, away!
for beset are we. But heaven or hell shall rescue her from me.
Brother, was not that Delia did appear? Or was it but her shadow that was here?
Sister, where art thou? Delia, come again. He calls that of thy absence doth complain. Call out Calypha, that she may hear, and cry aloud, for Delia is near.
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 Near? Near? Oh, where? Hast thou any tidings?
Tidings.
Tidings. Tidings.
Which way is Delia, then? Or that, or this?
This.
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 And may we safely come where Delia is?
Yes.
Brother.
Duh.
Brother, remember you the white bear of England's wood? Start not aside for every danger. Be not afeard of every stranger. Things that seem are not the same.
Brother, why do we not then courageously enter?
Then, brother, draw thy sword and follow me.
Why is it growing so dark, Gamma?
Nay, sacrapent conjures against the brothers.
What, brother? Dost thou fall?
Aye, and thou too, Calypha.
Both brothers struck down, poor souls.
Yet Sacrapent hath more wickedness than this. Now he summons the Furies.
Adeste demones! Away with them! Go carry them straight to Sacrapanto's cell, there in despair and torture for to dwell.
These Sathinores, sons of Thessaly, that come to seek Delia, their sister, forth. But with a potion I to her have given, my arts have made her to forget herself.
And Sacrapent was left alone. But see, he removes a piece of turf from the ground, and look! Oh, what is that he takes from the earth? It shines so. A light in a glass. Hush and hark.
See here, the thing which doth prolong my life. With this enchantment, I do anything, and till this fade, my skill shall still endure. And never none shall break this little glass, but she that's neither wife, widow, nor maid. Then, cheer thyself, this is thy destiny, never to die but by a dead man's hand.
Now, Gamma, who is this? For I never saw him before.
He hath been all this time a-coming hither. This is Eumenides, the Wandering Knight.
Tell me, time. Tell me, just time. When shall I Delia see? When shall I see the lodestar of my life? When shall my wandering course end with her sight? Or I but view my hope, my heart's delight. Father! Godspeed! If you tell fortunes, I pray, good father, tell me mine.
Son, I do see in thy face thy blessed fortune work apace. I do perceive that thou hast wit. Beg of thy fate to govern it, for wisdom, governed by advice, makes many fortunate and wise. Bestow thy arms, give more than all, till dead men's bones come at thy call. Farewell, my son. Dream of no rest till thou repent that thou didst best.
this man hath left me in a labyrinth. He biddeth me give more than all till dead men's bones come at thy call. He biddeth me dream of no rest till I repent that I do best.
You may be ashamed, ye horse and scold sexton and church warden, if you had any shame in those shameless faces of yours, to let a poor man lie so long above ground unburied. A rot on you all that have no more compassion of a good fellow when he's gone.
What? Would you have us to bury him and to answer it ourselves to the parish?
Parish? Me no parishes. Pay me my fees and let the rest run on in the quarter's accounts and put it down for one of your good deeds, a God's name, for I am not one that curiously stands upon merit.
Yow, horse and sodden any sheep's face! Shall a good fellow do less service and more honest state to the parish, and will you not, when he is dead, let him have a Christmas burial?
Peace, Corribus. As sure as Jack was Jack, the frolic's frannin' amongst you and I, Wiggin, his sweet, sworn brother. Jack shall have his funerals, or some of them shall lie on God's dear earth for it, that's once.
Wiggin, I hope thou wilt do no more than thou darest answer.
Sir, dare or dare not, more or less answer or not answer, do this or have this.
Help! Help!
Hold thy hands, good fellow.
Can you blame him, sir, if he take Jack's part against this shake-rotten parish that will not bury Jack?
Why, what was that, Jack?
Who, Jack, sir? Who our Jack, sir? As good a fellow as ever trod upon neat leather.
And look you, sir, he gave 80 mourning gowns to the parish when he died, and because he wouldn't make them up to a full 100, they wouldn't bury him. Oh. Now, was this not good dealing?
Oh, Lord, sir, how he lies! He was not worth a halfpenny, and drunk out every penny, and now his fellows, his drunken companions, would have us to bury him at the charge of the parish. And we make many such matches, we may pull down the steeple, sell the bells, and thatch the chancel. He shall lie above ground till he dance the galliard about the churchyard for Stephen Loach.
Sic argumentaris, Domine Loach, and we may make me such matches, we may pull down the steeple, sell the bells, and thatch the chancel. In good time, sir, and hang yourself in the bell ropes when you've done. Domine opponens praepono tibi, hanc quaestionem. Whether you will have the ground broken or your pates broken first, for one of them shall be done presently, and to begin mine, I'll seal it upon your coxcomb.
Hold thy hands, I pray thee, good fellow, be not too hasty.
Yeah, okay, Pond's face. We shall have you turned out of the parish one of these days, and never a tatter to your arse, and then you are in worse taking than Jack.
Faith, and he is bad enough. This fellow does but the part of a friend to seek to bury his friend. How much will bury him?
Faith, about some 15 or 16 shillings will bestow him honestly.
Even thereabouts, sir.
Here, hold it then. And I've left me but one poor 3 halfpence. Now do I remember the words the old man spake at the cross. Bestow all thou hast, and this is all, till dead men's bones come at thy call. Here, hold it. And so, farewell.
God and all good be with you, sir. Nay, ye cormorants, I'll bestow 1 peel of Jack at mine own proper costs and charges.
Yeah, may thank God the long staff and the bilby blade cross not your coxcomb. Well, we'll do the church style and have a pot. And so, trillion.
Come, let's go.
But hark you, Gammer. Methinks this Jack bore a great sway in the parish.
Oh, this Jack was a marvellous fellow. He was but a poor man, but very well beloved. You shall see anon what this Jack will come to.
Soft, who have we here?
Our amorous harvesters.
My eye, let us sit still and let them alone.
Lo, here we come a-reaping, a-reaping, to reap our harvest fruit. And thus we pass the year so long, and never be we mute. And never be we mute, and never be we mute, and never be we mute.
can never be we meet another.
Soft! Who have we here?
Oh, this is a choleric gentleman. All you that love your lives, keep out of the smell of his two-handed sword. Now goes he to the conjurer.
Methinks a conjurer should put the fool into a juggling box.
Fee, far, fum! Here comes the Englishman! Conquer him that can! Come for his lady bright, to prove himself a knight and win her love in fight.
Hoo-ha, Master Bango, are you here? Here, you'd best sit down here and beg an alms with me.
Hence, base Cullion, here's he that commandeth egress and egress with his weapon and will enter at his voluntary. Whosoever saith no!
No!
So with that they kissed and spoiled the edge of as good a two-hand sword as ever God put life in.
How, Gamma? He is not slain?
Nay, but Sacripant's thunder hath struck the knight deaf.
Away with him into the open fields to be a ravened prey to crows and kites. Ah!
Now goes Booby in spite of the conjurer.
And for this villain, let him wander up and down in naught but darkness and eternal night.
Ah! Here hast thou slain Juan, a slashing knight, and robbed poor Booby of his sight.
Hence, villain, hence.
Now, I have unto Delia given a potion of forgetfulness, that when she comes, she shall not know her brothers. Lo, where they labor like to country slaves with spade and mattock on this enchanted ground. Now will I call her by another name. For never shall she know herself again until that Sacripant hath breathed his last. See where she comes. Come hither, Delia. Take this goad. Here hard at hand two slaves do work and dig for gold. Gore them with this, and thou shalt have enough.
Good sir, I know not what you mean.
She hath forgotten to be Delia, but not forgot the same she should forget. But I will change her name. Fair Berecynthia, so this country calls you. Go ply these strangers, wench. They dig for gold.
Oh, heavens! How am I beholding to this fair young man? But I must ply these strangers to their work.
Oh, brother, see where Delia is.
Oh, Delia, happy are we to see thee here.
What tell you me of Delia, prattling swains? I know no Delia, nor know I what you mean. Ply you to your work, or else you're like to smart.
Why, Delia, knowest thou not thy brothers here? We come from Thessaly to seek thee forth, and thou deceivest thyself, for thou art Delia.
Yet more for Delia? Then take this and smart. What feign you, shifts for to defer your labour? Work, villains, work. It is for gold you dig.
Peace, brother, peace. This vile enchanter hath ravished Delia of her senses clean, and she forgets that she is Delia.
Leave, cruel thou, to hurt the miserable.
Dig, brother, dig, for she is hard as steel.
Poor men.
Oy, but as they dig, they descry a light in a glass under a little hill.
That glass the wicked conjurer had hid.
The very same.
Stay, brother. What hast thou descried?
Away! And touch it not, 'tis something that my lord hath hidden there.
Well said. Thou pliest these pioneers well. Go get you in, you laboring slaves! Come, Berecynthia, let us in likewise, and hear the nightingale record her notes.
Now, for a husband, house, and home. God send a good one, or none, I pray gold. My father had sent me to the well for the water of life, and tells me, if I give fair words, I shall have a husband. Oh. But here comes Solanta, my sweet sister. I'll stand by and hear what she says.
My father has sent me to the well for water, and he tells me, if I speak fair, I shall have a husband and none the worst. Well, I'm sure all the world will not forsake me.
Marry up with a murrain. I know wherefore thou speakest that, but go thy way home as wise as thou camest, or I'll set thee home with a wannion.
Think this be the cursedest queen in the world. You see what she is. A little fair, but as proud as the devil and the veriest vixen that lives upon God's earth. Well, I'll let her alone and go home and get another pitcher. And for all this, get me to the well for water.
And here came in the conjurer's two furies and laid down the sleeping Spanish knight, all struck deaf with thunder as he was.
Once again for a husband, and in faith, Solanta, I have got the start of you, be like husbands grow by the well side. Now, my father says I must rule my tongue. Why, alas, what am I then? A woman without a tongue is like a soldier without his weapon. But I'll have my water and be gone.
But soft, Gamma. What is that rises from the well?
A head. The well of life is no common well. Hush, and listen what the head will say.
Gently dip, but not too deep, for fear you make the golden beard to weep. Fair maiden, white and red, stroke me smooth and comb my head, and thou shalt have some cockle bread.
What is this? Fair maiden, white and red, comb me smooth and stroke my head, and thou shalt have some cockle bread. Cockle. Call'st thou it, boy? Faith, I'll give you cockle bread.
Filena! Filenidos! Pamphilida! Florida? Flortus? Dub 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 bounce, quoth the gun, with a sulphurous half snuff. Waked with a wench. Pretty Pete, pretty love, and my sweet pretty Pixney. Just by thy side shall sit surnamed great Winnebang. Oh, safe in my arms will I keep thee, threat Mars, O thunder Olympus.
Foe, what a greasy groom have we here. He looks as though he crept out of the backside of the well and speaks like a drum perished in the West End.
Oh, that I might, but I may not. Woe to my destiny, therefore. Kiss that I clasp. But I cannot. Tell me, my destiny, wherefore?
Did you never hear so great a wonder as this? Three blue beans in a blue bladder. Rattle, bladder, rattle.
I'll now set my countenance, and to her in prose. It may be this rim-rum-rough is too rude an encounter. Let me, fair lady, if you be at leisure, revel with your sweetness, and rail upon that cowardly conjurer that hath cast me, or congealed me rather, into an unkind sleep and polluted my carcass.
Laugh, laugh, son Tipper. Thou hast thy fortune, a fool, and an husband in one.
Truly, sweetheart, as I seem, about some 20 years, the very April of mine age.
Why, what a prating ass is this?
Her coral lips, her crimson chin, her silver teeth so white within, her golden locks, her rolling eye, her pretty parts, let them go by. Heyo, have wounded me, that I must die this day to see.
By Gog's bones, thou art a flouting knave. Her coral lips, her crimson chin. Wisha.
True, my own. And my own because mine. And mine because mine. Above £1,000 in possibility, and things fitting I desire in possession.
The sort of things I ask of his lands. Lob be your comfort, and cuckold be your destiny. Hear you, sir. And if you will have us, you had best say so betime.
Ah, true, sweetheart. And I will royalize thy progeny with my pedigree.
Wretched Humanities, still unfortunate, envied by fortune and forlorn by fate, here pine and die. Wretched Humanities. Oh, die in the spring, the April of my age. Here sit thee down, repent what thou hast done. I would to God that it were ne'er begun.
You are well overtaken, sir.
Who's that?
You are heartily well met, sir.
Forbear, I say. Who is it that pincheth me?
Trusting in God, good Master Eumenides, that you are in so good health as all your friends were at the making hereof. God give you good morrow, sir. Lack you not a neat, handsome, and cleanly young lad, about the age of 15 or 16 years, that can run by your horse and, for a need, make your mastership shoes as black as ink? How say you, sir?
Alas, pretty lad, I know not how to keep myself, and much less servant. My pretty boy, my state is so bad.
Content yourself. You shall not be so ill a master, but I'll be as bad a servant. Tut, sir, I know you, though you know not me. Are you the man, sir, deny it if you can, sir, that came from a strange place in the land of Katita, where jackanapes flies with his tail in his mouth, to seek out a lady as white as snow and red as blood? Have I touched you now?
I think this boy be a spirit. How knowest thou all this?
Tut, are you not the man, sir, deny it if you can, sir, that gave all the money you had to the burying of a poor man, and but one free halfpence left in your purse? Ah, content you, sir. I'll serve you. That is flat.
Well, my lad, since thou art so importunate, I am content to entertain thee, not as a servant, but a co-partner in my journey. But whither shall we go? For I have not any money more than one bare 3 halfpence.
Well, master, content yourself, for if my divination be not out, that shall be spent at the next inn or alehouse we come to. For, master, I know you are passing hungry. Therefore, I'll go before and provide dinner until that you come. No doubt but you'll come fair and softly after.
I go before, I'll follow thee.
But do you hear, master? Do you know my name?
No, I promise thee, not yet.
Why, I am Jack.
Jack? Why, be it so, then.
How say you, sir? Do you please to sit down?
Hostess, I thank you. I've no great stomach.
Pray, sir, what is the reason your master is so strange? Does not this meat please him?
Yes, hostess, but it is my master's fashion to pay before he eats. Therefore, a reckoning, good hostess.
Marry shall you, sir, presently.
Why, Jack, what dost thou mean? Thou knowest I have not any money. Therefore, sweet Jack, tell me, what shall I do?
Well, master, look in your purse.
My faith, it is folly, for I have no money.
Why, look you, master. Do so much for me.
Alas, Jack, my purse is full of money.
Alas, master, does that word belong to this accident? Why, methinks I should have seen you cast away your cloak and in a bravado danced a galliard round about the chamber. Why, master, your man can teach you more wit than this. Come, hostess, cheer up, my master.
You are heartily welcome. And if it please you to eat of a fat capon, a fairer bird, a finer bird, a sweeter bird, a crisper bird, a neater bird, your worship never eat of.
Thanks, my fine, eloquent hostess.
But hear you, master. One word, by the way. Are you content I shall be halves in all you get in your journey?
I am, Jack. Here is my hand.
Enough, master. I ask no more.
Come, hostess, receive your money, and I thank you for my good entertainment.
Oh, you are heartily welcome, sir.
Come, Jack, whither go we now?
Marry, master, to the conjurers presently.
Content, Jack. Hostess, farewell.
See, Gamma, here comes Booby and the other sister.
Oi, she found him and guides him now to the well for the water of life.
Come, my duck, come. I have now got a wife. Thou art fair, art thou not?
My booby, the fairest alive, make no doubt of that.
Come, wench, are we almost at the well?
Aye, booby, we are almost at the well now. I'll go fetch some water. Sit down while I dip my pitcher in.
Gently dip, but not too deep, for fear you make the golden beard to weep. Fair maiden, white and red, comb me smooth and stroke my head, and thou shalt have some cockle bread.
Gently dip, but not too deep, for fear thou make the golden beard to weep. Fair maid, white and red, comb me smooth and stroke my head, and every hair a sheaf shall be, and every sheaf a golden tree.
Oh, see, booby, I have combed a great deal of gold into my lap, and a great deal of corn.
Well said, wench. Oh, now we shall have just enough. God send us coiners to coin our gold. But come, shall we go home, sweetheart?
Nay, come, booby, I will lead you.
So, booby, things have well hit. Thou hast gotten wealth to mend thy wit.
Come away, master, come.
Go along, Jack. I'll follow thee. Jack, they say it is good to go cross-legged and say prayers backwards. How sayst thou?
Tut, never fear, master. Let me alone. Here, sit you still. Speak not a word. And, because you shall not be enticed with his enchanting speeches, with this same wool I'll stop your ears. And so, master, sit still, for I must to the conjurer.
How now? What man art thou that sits so sad? Why dost thou gaze upon these stately trees without the leave and will of Sacripant? What, not a word but mum?
Then, Sacripant, thou art betrayed!
And now comes in the ghost of Jack Invisible and takes Sacripant's wreath from off his head and his sword out of his hand.
What hand invades the head of Sacripant? What hateful fury doth envy my happy state?
in Sacrapent. These are thy latest days. Alas, my veins are numbed. My sinews shrink. My blood is pierced. My breath fleeting away. And now my timeless date is come to end. He in whose life his acts hath been so foul, now in his death to hell descends his soul.
Sir, are you gone?
Now I hope we shall have some other coil. Now, master, how like ye this? The conjurer, he is dead, and vows never to trouble us more. Now, get you to your fair lady and see what you can do with her. Alas, he heareth me not all this while, but I will help that.
Hello, Jack! What news?
Here, master, take this sword and dig with it at the foot of this hill.
How now, Jack? What is this? A light in a glass?
Master, without this, the conjurer could do nothing. And so long as this light lasts, so long doth his art endure. And, this being out, then doth his art decay.
Why then, Jack, I will soon put out this light.
My master. How?
Why, with a stone I'll break the glass and then I'll blow it out.
No, master. You may as soon break the smith's anvil as this little vial, nor the biggest blast that ever Boreas blew cannot blow out this little light. But she that is neither maid, wife, nor widow. Master, wind this horn and see what will happen. So, master, how like you this? This is she that ran madding in the woods. Venelia, his betrothed love that keeps the cross. Now, Venelia, break the glass and put out the light. And now, this light being out, all are restored to their former liberty. And now, master, to the lady that you have so long looked for.
Godspeed, fair maid, sitting alone. There is once. Godspeed, fair maid, sitting alone. There is twice. Godspeed, fair maid, sitting alone. That is thrice.
So good, sir, for you are by.
Enough, master. She has spoke. Now I will leave her with you.
Thou fairest flower of these western parts, whose beauty so reflecteth in my sight, as doth a crystal mirror in the sun. For thy sweet sake I have crossed the frozen Rhine. Leaving fair Po, I sailed up Danube as far as Sabre, whose enhancing stream cut 'twixt the Tartars and the Russians. These have I crossed for thee, fair Delia. Then grant me that which I have sued for long.
Thou gentle knight, whose fortune is so good, to find me out and set my brothers free. My faith, my heart, my hand I give to thee.
Thanks, gentle madam. But here comes Jack. Thank him, for he is the best friend that we have. How now, Jack, what hast thou there?
Marry, master, the head of the conjurer.
Why,
Jack, that is impossible. He was a young man.
Master, so he deceived them that beheld him. But he was a miserable, old, and crooked man. Though to each man's eye he seemed young and fresh. For, Master, this conjurer took the shape of the old man that kept the cross, and that old man was in the likeness of the conjurer. But now, Master, wind your horn.
Welcome, Irestes. Welcome, fair Venelia. Welcome, Thalia and Califa both. Now have I heard that I so long have sought, so saith fair Delia, if we have your consent.
Valiant Eumenides, thou well deservest to have our favours. So let us rejoice that by thy means we are at liberty. Here may we joy each in other's sight, and this fair lady have her wandering night.
So, Master, now you think you have done, but I must have a saying to you. You know you and I were partners, I to have half in all you got.
Why, so thou shalt, Jack.
Why then, Master, draw your sword, part your lady. Let me have half of her presently.
Why, I hope, Jack, thou dost but jest. I promise thee half I got, but not half my lady.
But what else, Master? Have you not gotten her? Therefore, divide her straight, for I will have half. There is no remedy.
Well, ere I will falsify my word unto my friend, take her all. Here, Jack, I'll give her thee.
Nay, neither more nor less, Master, but even just half.
Before I will falsify my faith unto my friend, I will divide her. Jack, thou shalt have half.
Be not so cruel unto our sister, gentle knight.
Oh, spare fair Delia, she deserves no death.
Content yourselves, my word is passed to him. Therefore, prepare thyself, Delia, for thou must die.
Then farewell, world. Adieu, Eumenides.
Stay, Master. It is sufficient. I have tried your constancy. Do you now remember since you paid for the burying of a poor fellow?
Aye, very well, Jack.
Then, Master, thank that good deed for this good turn. And so God be with you all.
Jack, what? Art thou gone? Then farewell, Jack. Come, brothers, and my beauteous Delia, Orestes, and thy dear Venelia, we will to Thessaly with joyful hearts.
Agreed. We follow thee and Delia.
What? Gamma? Oh, asleep?
Boy, the mass, son. It's almost day, and my window shutteth a cock's crow.
Do you hear, Gamma? Methinks this Jack bore a great sway amongst them.
Oh, man, that was the ghost of the poor man that they kept such a coil to bury, and that makes him to help the wandering knight so much. But come, let us in. We will have a cup of ale and a toast this morning, and so depart.
Then you have made an end of your tale, Gamma?
Yes, faith. And when this was done, I took a piece of bread and cheese and came my way, and so shall you have too, before you go to your breakfast.
Hey! Lo, here we come a-reaping, a-reaping, to reap our harvest fruit. And thus we pass the year so long, and never be we mute. And never be we mute.
Never be we
mute. Never be we mute.
Never be we
mute. Never be we mute.
Never be we
mute. Never be we mute.
In The Old Wives' Tale by George Peel, Madge was played by Lindsay Beecham. Antic Booby and Coribus by Kit McGuire. Fantastic and Delia by Sojourner Hazelwood Connell. Frolic and Jack by Emma Kemp. And Clunch, Arrestus and Wiggin by Keith Hill. Alexandra Kataguida was Sacripant and Sexton. Valentina Vinci, Juana Bango, Rule Fox, Eumenides and Harvestmen, Pamela Flanagan, Brother Number One and Xantippa, Blue Kirkby, Brother Number Two and Solanta, Sarah Blake, Lampriscus, Friar, Churchwarden, Hostess, and all other parts played by members of the company. The music was by Rule Fox, and technical presentation by Robert Crichton. The Old Wives' Tale was directed by Liza Graham and recorded live at the White Bear Theatre on Saturday, 16th of December, 2023. With special thanks to our patrons for voting for this play to be produced. If you've enjoyed this production and would like to support our ongoing play schedule, support our continuing work by becoming a patron at patreon.com/beyondshakespeare or buy us a coffee on ko-fi.com/beyondshakes. You can also follow us online on Twitter, Facebook or Instagram at Beyond Shakes. Visit our website at beyondshakespeare.org. Goodbye.